What's up, podcast land? Long time no talk, even though it's been less than 24 hours. Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. I like talking to you. I like talking to all of you. You guys are awesome. Keep it up. Anyways, episode number 132. Yeah, we're up to 132 already. Jesus Christ. Where does the time go? Episode 132 is brought to you by Silence and Solitude. Silence and Solitude is a metalcore quintet based out of southern New Jersey, and it consists of Shane Roxas, Colby Hempel, Cody Mitchell, Alexander Coates, and Justin Pomper. The band formed in early 2015 and made their debut in September of the following year, 2016, having spent the previous year writing and recording. Well, what did it lead to? Well, their debut album, Resurgence, came out in December of 2016, and it debuted at number 20 on the iTunes Metal Charts. They have released music videos for their singles Suffering, Deceiver, and for their cover of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Close enough. You know, so if you don't think Resurgence is a great album, well, let's just say you don't like the name Resurgence for whatever reason, even though I'm telling you it's great, and even though the band tells you it's great, but what about New Transcendence? They said that Resurgence is a must listen for 2016, without a doubt, especially for fans of metal and its subgenres. If you're looking for something that is emotionally powerful, but not too whiny, aggressive, but not hate-filled, and will stand the test of time, this is the album you've been searching for. For more information, visit www.silenceinsolitude.com. This episode is also brought to you by our boys in 627. So imagine the Foo Fighters and Muse stuffed in an underground studio during the nuclear holocaust with nothing but Weezer and Radiohead albums to session. I don't have to imagine anymore. You just listen to 627. Delivering the attitude of an underdog and the punch of a champion, 627's chunky guitar riffs, charismatic vocals, and emotional solos are the most beautiful ass-whooping your ears have ever taken, motherfucker. For more information, hit up dub7records.com. That's D-U-B, the number 7, records.com. And like them on Facebook at facebook.com/SIXTWOSEVEN627. So 627 twice. This podcast is also brought to you by the Golden Hearts Festival. It's happening this Thursday, August 10th. Tomorrow. Yeah, actually happening tomorrow, August 10th, and next Tuesday, August 15th, at the Gramercy Theater on East 23rd Street in New York, New York. Tickets are $16 for each day, and you have great New York, New Jersey local bands such as In Loving Memory, Monument of a Memory, Zoom, Champ, Our Boys Approaching Troy, Varsity, Jinx, Trace Your Steps, Refinement, Ender, and a whole lot more. So tickets are on sale now, all ages to get into. Hit up a band for your tickets. Come on out. Celebrate the best of New Jersey and New York / New York City. All in one place. Can't beat it. You cannot beat it. But maybe you can. Because in October, the podcast is also sponsored by Nowhere Fest. So if you're looking for something a little harder, more national-based, hardcore, and somewhat metal-axe, look no further. Nowhere Fest. It is happening from October 20th to the 22nd. It's a nice weekend. Come on out for it. That should be awesome. On the 20th, you have Body Snatcher, you have Cock Punch, you have Conveyor, Vices, Backswing, so many other great bands. October 21st, you have the amazing, amazing punk and hardcore veterans in Comeback Kid. You also have Cold as Life. You have Full Blown Chaos. You have Stone, you have Borrow Time, you have Locked Away, you have Shots Fired, and another group of incredible acts. And then we conclude everything up with On Broken Wings, Slapshot, Brick by Brick, Buried Dreams, Hangman, Downswing, Misgiver, Grievance, and more great acts. So tickets are $25 in advance, $30 for a day of show, and a 3-day pass is $60. So essentially, you're getting Friday for free if you pay for Saturday and Sunday. You can't beat it. All this is happening at the Chance Complex, 6 Crandall Street in Poughkeepsie, New York. And tickets are available now. Just hit that. Just hit the link. Just go into your description right now. Hit that link. It'll guide you right to their Nowhere Fest Facebook, event. Yeah, it goes right to the event, and it has a direct link to buy tickets. You can't beat it. So today is the last of our Warped Tour series. Yes, we have an interview with the one and only William Control. And we also have an interview with the boys in Lakeshore. Damn, I just can't believe that Warped Tour is over. You know, that means school's about to start. I mean, not for me. I mean, I've been out of school for how long now? Shit. It's been a while. But anyways, without further ado, let's get right into this. Episode number 132 starts right now.
From out of the wasteland of generic podcasts and radio shows, one has emerged. It prides itself on having conversations with the most talented musicians from all over the world. If you like a boring question and answer interview, this isn't for you. If you want deep conversations about anything and everything, you've come to the right place. Your new favorite show starts now, and its name is Behind the Barricade.
What's happening, man? Warped Tour.
Warped Tour. Well, the weather is nice today in Jersey. Which is a fucking first, I think, in my entire life.
Probably, yes. Yeah. It's always depressing in Jersey.
It's usually fucked up. Like, either snowing or super hot or fuck. It's actually really nice today.
I know.
I'm fucking surprised.
You know what? I think we have you to thank.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
I brought it.
Absolutely. So, what's going on? You know, we are at Warped Tour. This is probably, what, halfway point of this thing?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. And another year. Is it, like, almost a blur now? Of just doing Warped Tour day in, day out, or?
I mean, I don't drink, so.
I mean, blur as in, like, you don't know what day it is. You just wake up, and you're like, what city am I in?
I know where I'm at. I'm not ever hungover, so I have a good idea of where we're at and what we're doing.
Nice, man, nice.
My mind is sharp.
It's got to be sharp.
I'm on point.
You do Sudoku? What do you do? How do you keep the mind sharp?
I don't drink or do drugs.
I mean, that works as well.
Most of these guys are out here. They're walking around, hangover, I'm all fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, how do they not know that alcohol mixed in with 100-degree weather just doesn't mix?
I mean, you'd think that they would know by now.
Yeah.
But apparently not.
Nope. So, anyways, which stage are you on today?
Skull Candy. So this one right out here.
Oh, perfect. Now, do you have, like, a preference whether either playing in, like, an amphitheater, as we are today, or, like, in a actual crowd, or...
I mean, I like when the stages are outside,
Yeah. Just
on the truck, you know, the regular stages. I don't really like the amphitheater because the sound is really weird.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, you have seats everywhere. No one can actually move.
Yeah.
You know, you can crowd surf, but God forbid you get dropped.
It's kind of dumb.
Yeah. I think it was either last year or the year before I saw the Story So Far play in the amphitheater, and at least 5 people got dropped on the seats.
Fuck.
Yeah. It's like, why don't you just bump that up? Like, why doesn't Kevin just go, all right, you know what? We're bumping you up to the main stage. You know, get away. Like, try to keep it a little more, I guess, safe.
Yeah. I don't know, man. There's 100 reasons why that doesn't happen, you know?
Absolutely. So, you just came out with a new EP not too long ago, right?
Yesterday.
Yeah, holy shit. Exactly not too long ago. God damn. It's pretty good, man.
Yesterday is the day. This is the third in a 4-part series. So, we're releasing 4 EPs throughout the year.
Okay.
We started last October. We did one in February, one yesterday, and then we're doing another one in October.
Okay. So what is number 3 about?
I mean, well, the whole record, I mean, is kind of a bookend on the William Control story.
Mm-hmm.
But we split it up into 4 EPs because of the, you know, the climate of music these days.
Yeah.
You know, you put out a record, you know, you spend... You know, 2, 3, 4, 6 months in a studio making an album. You write the whole thing. You record it. You spend all this money. You put it out. And within, you know, a few minutes, it's disappeared in people's Facebook feeds. It's like...
Ain't that some shit?
People fucking, you know, don't have the attention span anymore.
No.
So the way that the digital market works these days, we want to put out an EP, drop
just
a video.
Just keep pumping it out.
Just keep putting out content, you know? So it keeps it fresh in people's minds.
That's fucking genius.
It is genius.
Yes.
Old William Control, he's a genius.
Absolutely. You heard it here first. Yeah.
both Dan and I, we talk about, like, look, how many times do you see, like, an album being put out? There's maybe, like, one or two good songs, you know, most of it's filler. And then, like you just said, just disappears within, like, a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, it came out, all right, yeah, great. And then the next day, it's like, yeah, oh, whatever.
Yeah. Why do all that work?
Exactly.
Like, how am I gonna make a video for a song on a record that's been out for a year?
Yeah.
Why do people want to see a video for that song, you know?
No one gives a shit.
No one gives a shit.
No.
So the record, I feel like, is done. I feel like the record is done. We're going back. Back to EPs, back to singles, you know, singles with remixes, new shit all the time.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do.
Plus, basically, you hit the pinnacle of that kind of style with Aiden. You know, you put out monstrous albums after albums after albums. Now you're going, I don't want to say backwards, but you're still in that popularity sphere while still putting out things and keeping relevant. I think that's the number one thing artists have to do these days.
Yeah, well, it's a different world.
Yeah.
10 years ago, that was the model. You make a fucking record, you go into a studio, sit with the producer, you do the album, and then you have a label that promotes it for months, and you make a video, and then you make another video, and, you know, that's just how it used to be, but
yeah.
Now it's totally different. It's a different world.
Yeah.
And we have to evolve as artists.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, our shit's just going to get lost in people's Facebook and Instagram feeds.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, you're playing in front of 100, 200 people at a bar that no one gives a shit about.
Yeah.
God almighty, I've seen that so many times.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens.
Yeah.
It's a tough business.
It really is.
Yeah.
So how do you keep ahead of everything besides the EP and stuff like that? Like, are you a marketing genius as well? Do you have a whole team behind you? Like, what's the secret?
I mean, I don't have a team behind me. You know, I've just been able to learn the value of social media. Like, I'm a small artist.
Yeah.
Like, William Control is not even a quarter of the size of what Aiden was.
Yeah.
You know, but I have been able to utilize social media to my advantage and online marketing and street team stuff and keep it fresh in people's minds because that's how I've had to evolve to be able to make a living in this industry.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my friends that were in bands 10 years ago are not in bands anymore because they haven't been able to figure it out.
Yeah.
They're still stuck in that old model.
Wow. So, it's actually cool to hear that you're still making a living doing what you love.
Yeah.
You know, not having to put up with some bullshit 9-to-5 job while you're not on tour, praying to God the manager let you out for 2 weeks, 3 weeks at a time, or, God forbid, Warped Tour.
Well, not only that, but not having to work and record albums for a label that doesn't really give a shit about you. You know, I do all the records myself on Control Records.
Perfect.
So, fuck everyone.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, going back to, like, the Aiden days where you were on Victory and we all heard horror stories on that. I'm not too sure exactly what your experience was with...
I mean, it was exactly the same as all the other bands.
Jesus Christ.
You know, what are you going to do? I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I learned how to not get fucked.
Exactly. Not sign away your lives.
Yeah, man. I mean, the reality of the situation is that music is an art form that's been free forever.
Yeah.
We've been banging on our knees or our skins or on cave walls and making sounds with our throat. Mm-hmm. We've been writing, you know, symphonies for Roman emperors. Mozart is wheeling around his little piano playing for princes. Like, music has been free forever. Even when the radio started, mm-hmm. they put songs on the radio and you could listen. And it wasn't until the rise of capitalism in America, you know, after the Great Depression, they realized, oh, we could print this music on a piece of plastic and sell it to the public so they could listen to it at home. And that's when, you know, and the first big artist to do that was Elvis Presley.
Which was,
Was Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like the first indication that there's a lot of money to be made by these guys. And so record labels started with finance guys and lawyers, and they were able to write contracts that were in their favor. And they signed young, naive artists and have them sign all their rights away because we don't know what mechanical royalties are.
No.
We don't know what waiting periods are. We don't know, you know, we don't know what contracts are.
Yeah,
we just want to go on tour and be, you know, on MTV.
Yeah. You want fame, you want fortune, you want to go on tour, you want to have groupies. Yeah, just sign right here. Don't read anything else. Don't get a lawyer, don't get anything.
Yeah, man. So we sign these contracts and we fuck ourselves.
Yeah. And then you have to go and compete with people that the label actually make. Like, I mean, you start off as a band of, you actually knew the people. like now you look at bands like One Direction or like Fifth Harmony, where they put these boys and girls together and be like, okay, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do this, you're going to sing it this way, these are our songs, you're just going to go on this huge-ass world tour, you know, in front of thousands and thousands of screaming people. And then you have yourself and William Control basically struggling. I don't want to say struggling, but yeah, well, yeah, with the guitar unplugged.
I mean, well, that's, you know, that's just the pop world.
Yeah.
And that's like the manufactured version of music. And, you know, you can't fault some kids, you know, who grow up their whole lives idolizing people on television and singers and musicians, and then someone comes along and goes, hey, I have this opportunity for you. Yeah. You're good looking, you're talented, I can do this, and then they blow up. You can't fault the kids for that.
No.
Because it's not them, it's the fucking corporations behind them.
Exactly, yeah.
It's the guys in the boardroom going, okay, we need fucking five good looking young, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's really about making money at that point and not about art.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
I'm not really fazed by that shit, you know? I live my own life.
You
I got my own shit to do.
Competing with anything or anyone? Or
who am I going to compete with?
Fuck if I know.
I'm fucking great on my own. Fuck everybody.
We got greatness here.
That's right.
Absolutely. All right, Dan, any questions?
So I guess if you have like a favorite venue, kind of pick one, or if you have like a good or bad experience that's the most memorable and any of those venues, just let us know, like any accidents, any, I know a couple bands that we talk with have a couple of stage malfunctions. Yeah.
I swing my mic a lot during the set and I've been doing that for a lot of years. And when I started doing it with Aiden, I wasn't very good at it. I did it, but I wasn't very good. I had hit the stage, I'd hit the monitors, I'd hit, you know, instruments. I didn't really ever fuck anyone up, but I used to sing with Shure mics, like SM58.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And we didn't have any money, so I would beat the head of it up until there was like a sharp ridge around it, because it would just flatten the metal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we were at this place in Milwaukee called The Rave. Yeah, so The Rave is like this cool three-venue, you know, right down the street from where Jeffrey Dahmer, like, ate those people, yeah, you know. And I was in that venue. We were on tour with Silverstein, and I swinging my mic, and I remember it was all red. I was wearing a white outfit, and it was red lights, and I was swinging, and I bonked my head. Not very hard, but enough to be like, oh, shit, I hope nobody saw me do that. That's, I was embarrassed, you know, like, oh, fuck. And then the white lights came on, and I was covered in blood.
Shit. It didn't even hurt or anything?
No. I sliced my head open, and I was literally covered in blood. And everyone wanted to give me stitches, and I told someone just to get super glue. Just super glue my shit. I'm good. Let's go.
It's like one of those experiences where it's like you think it's sweat, and then you're like, oh, shit, it's blood. Really?
That's exactly what it was. But it was like horror movie blood.
Oh, shit.
All
hit like a vein or something?
Outfit. I don't know. What the fuck? I guess I got a lot of blood.
There's a funny story of you know Killswitch Engage.
Yeah.
One of their older shows, he's like Adam D swinging a mic around like really, or no, it wasn't Adam D. I think it was Howard. Howard Jones is swinging a mic around really, really, and then turns around and whacks Adam D right in the face, like right in the face. I think there was blood. And John has a horror story with a microphone.
That's a bummer.
Well, not really a horror story, but I've been in local bands, and my last band, I opened up for Alien Ant Farm and Head PE, and this kid was on drums. So I was like, you know what? We got to go balls to the wall here. You know, these are two bands that people know. I don't want to say they're one-hit wonders, but you know what I mean. So I was like, you know what? Fuck this. So in pure, I guess, G.G. Allen form, I took out, like, the hard part up there, just started randomly fucking jamming it right in my face. Like, it got like the whole circle thing, and next thing you know, it just went blood just started coming down. It looked like one of those Virgin Mary things, you know, like when the statue starts bleeding. Like, it was just like the circle, and right in the middle, it just went. I was like, if that's not fucking demonic, I don't know what is.
You can bring in the devil rock.
Absolutely. Right before Alien Ant Farm comes on and does Smooth Criminal.
Fuck it. I remember that band.
Fuck yeah. Dude, they're such a great band.
They were really good as a band.
Yeah.
It's, you know, kind of too bad that they only got big off a cover song.
You can say the same about the Ataris, too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I feel like it traps them. Like, they have really good songs, but only people focus on, like, one.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
You know, like if your band, you know, that was like a big thing. If your band got big off a cover, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, at least with Aiden, you had Die Romantic, We Sleep Forever, you know, all those songs where you could play them first or last. It didn't matter. People were still going to play, still going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like if the Ataris came out with Boys of Summer, maybe half the crowd would be gone.
Yeah. It's true.
But people want to hear what they want. Like, no, there's no more MTV anymore. There's no more sitting around TRL waiting for that fucking Limp Bizkit video to come on. Yeah. You know, there's none of that anymore. It's like, I'm going to go YouTube, Limp Bizkit, and watching it.
I know. It's a really weird climate. But it's also really exciting, too, because we have access to more shit than we've ever had access to. When I was a kid, there was only MTV and the radio.
Yeah.
It's the only way I discovered music.
Yeah.
You know? And now it's, you know, I mean, it's a lot more convoluted, and there's a lot more cooks in the kitchen. But, you know, anytime I want to listen to a song, I could listen to it.
Yeah.
I don't have to go find it at a record store. You know?
You don't have to buy the full CD for $18 just for that one song that you like. Yep. All right, I think this is a good time to end things. So, EP just came out yesterday. Pick that shit up.
Revelations, the Red EP. It's out. Go buy it.
Amen. Cool. Facebook, Twitter, you're all over the place. William Control, just Google it.
Yep.
I'm like there. It, tweet it, fucking follow, whatever
the
fuck.
Get it done.
Hell yeah. William, thank you so much, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right. So, we're here. Ben, Sean, Lakeshore, what's happening?
Dude, not a whole lot, man. I'm just trying to stay cool.
Especially on Warped Tour, that's almost fucking impossible.
Yeah, man. Actually, today's pretty nice. We actually got a lot of sun. It's been raining for the past couple days.
So I've heard. I heard Mansfield was a mess.
Yeah.
I've heard Hartford, I think, was a mess.
Yeah, it flooded. I think it flooded in Massachusetts. Dude, the whole pit was just up to your knees. It was crazy.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Although that does sound pretty badass.
It was awesome.
Nothing like a nice little mud pit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, reminiscent of fucking Woodstock.
Yeah, right?
Exactly. So, you guys are on the tour today. What stage are you guys on?
We're on the Hard Rock stage.
Oh, right fucking
there. Yep, right over there.
Right in the amphitheater.
Yep.
Now, does it hinder your performance a little bit, being in an amphitheater instead of, like, out in a crowd, or?
No, I don't think so. The sound is fucking incredible under that thing. And I think it doesn't really matter where we play, man. We're going to do the exact same thing we do every time.
Absolutely. So, you guys are actually from around here in Connecticut.
Yeah, we're from New Fairfield.
New Fairfield. Which, where's that by?
It's by Danbury, Newtown.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to school up at UNH.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's, oh, University of New Haven.
Yeah.
A little drive, but it's close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like too bad of a drive.
No. You're pretty close. 45 minutes.
Absolutely. So you guys have a new album coming out. What was it, August 4th, was it?
Yeah, August 4th. Our EP is called 41, and it comes out through Outer Loop Records. And we put a lot of work into it. It's been pushed back a couple times. We're now finally going to get it out August 4th. We got a couple songs on Spotify and all that stuff. But, August 4th's the day.
Excited?
Oh, very
scared.
Excited. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I've been waiting a long time for this.
Nice.
For sure.
So you've been playing a lot of the new songs out on here on Warped Tour?
Yeah, we play our EP from front to back.
Jesus Christ, you can't get better than that.
Yep, exactly. So what you get at our live show is what you're going to get on the EP.
Nice. Now, are you selling anything early at the merch?
Yes. We've got all our CDs are at the merch table. So if you're here, pick them up.
Dude, I love that, going to Warped Tour. It's like, yeah, our CD's here now. It comes out in about like a month. Like,
yep.
Wait, what? Yep. What the fuck?
Yep. No, we got them. We got them here.
Exactly. It's not some like CDR bootleg copy shit either.
No. Real deal. Real deal.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
So you got the EP coming out. You're on Warped Tour. What do you got going on after?
So we're off for about 2 weeks, and then we're going back on tour with Alisana and I Set to Kill. We're hitting the East Coast, and I think we're going a little bit west and then coming back up. And that's what we got booked for now, but we're going to be busy pretty much all the time. We're going to be hitting the road. So just.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys are hitting up Webster Hall in New York.
Yeah. It was apparently the day after it closes, so I don't know how that's going to work out. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, I think it was August 6th. It was on that Sunday.
Yeah.
No, they're going for renovations and shit.
Yeah.
So if you're in New York City, got to come out to this one because you're in the basement. You have on the middle floor is Danger Kids and Galactic Empire. It's basically like Oakley Dokley. You know,
yeah.
But instead of Flanders, they look like Star Wars characters.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, first time I saw them, I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at here?
Dude, those types of bands, though, are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they commit completely, and, like, dude, if you're into Star Wars, you're going to fucking love that band, you know?
And then on the top floor, you have Good Charlotte and 303.
Oh, God.
All in one fucking venue at the same time.
That's insanity. It's like a time machine.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Dude,
so,
yeah.
Dan?
So I like to ask a lot of the bands this. Do you have like a favorite venue? And if you don't have a favorite venue, most memorable moment at a venue, either good or bad, stage malfunctions, crowd problems?
You take this one.
Flooded pits.
It depends. Which one do you want? Do you want Russia or Australia?
Go for both of them. Give us them all.
Probably my favorite venue to play, in the States at least, is probably Soma out in San Diego or the Masquerade in Atlanta, which we're actually hitting the Masquerade on this Alisana tour, so it should be fun. But as far as what was it?
Most memorable moment, like good or bad, with like stage malfunctions, crowd problems, band accidents, tour bus accidents,
in
pranks.
In Bogota, Colombia. Well, actually, I was with Suicide Silence, so I don't know if this counts, but whatever.
Go for it. Go for it.
We were getting ready to play, and the sold out club, and all the power went out, and then it was completely dark. About 700 kids in there, all packed in. Nobody knew what to do, and the power just went out. And that was probably one of the craziest things that have happened. I guess it's kind of a you had to be there thing, but I don't know. Being in Colombia and having stuff like that happen is pretty crazy.
So what did they do for that? Did you, like, delay the – I'm sure it delayed the set, but, like, backup generators, anything?
Set. Yeah, backup generator. I don't know what the hell they did, but they got it running, and we did the show, so whatever. Mm-hmm.
So you guys participating in the barbecue at the end of this at all? Or?
Yeah, I mean, this is our last show tonight, so we wanted to do like a little sponsor thing for it, but they just said come and hang out and
get free food.
Yeah, get free food. So it's been a blast playing here, and everybody, the crew, the production, everybody's been amazing. So
now, what is it like? The bands that win the tour have to like provide the food and cook and stuff, or
there's a something called the. What the hell is the band, the one band that goes and does the barbecue? It's just called the barbecue band?
Yeah, there's bands that do catering. Like, you'll go in there and sometimes a band have to do the... Oh, yeah, that's right.
Whatever.
Sometimes you'll go in there and one of the bands will be doing catering. You're like, all right, I guess it was their day. But I don't know how the barbecue works.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, you had bands like Dropkick Murphys start off that way. You had a band last year called Reckless Serenade do that. Like, they are on the tour, but they have to cook everything with the barbecue.
Yeah.
That's not a bad deal.
That's not a bad deal at all. Fuck no.
Dude, I love cooking. Are you kidding me? Sign me up.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Better than, like, paying to be on a tour?
Yeah.
Like,
just
the
cook.
Buy-ins
just
and shit.
Dude,
yeah.
Just cook, dude. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? We're hungry. We don't need that much cash.
Yeah, just give me a smoker, dude. I'm good to go.
So you said you're good at barbecuing?
I mean, I've barbecued.
Oh.
I've barbecued. I'm from Virginia. Oh. Nice southern barbecue. Dude, low and slow. That's it. It works with everything.
Dude, there's nothing like brisket that's been, like, slowly cooked for a good, like, 36 hours.
Dude, you're making me hungry.
Fucking melt in your mouth. The way my mother used to make it.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, my God. Please.
Yeah, too bad you can't really get that good of barbecue in New Jersey. Like, there are some good spots. But, like, you go down to, like, a random LSU game. And you have 9,000 people doing the same exact barbecue, and each one of them is great.
Oh, yeah. Dude, funny enough, the best barbecue I ever got was in Maryland, and it was right next to a strip club, like right off the highway.
Okay, I like where this is heading.
One of those dive places you got to know about, man. I can't remember the name for the life of me.
It's that good that it doesn't even have a name.
Dude, it was so good. You know it's good when you walk in and there's a picture of Guy Fieri there at the place that you're eating. You're like, dude, yeah, this place is about to take me to Flavortown.
If Guy Fieri likes it, I mean,
you got the Guy Fieri stamp of approval. You're set to go.
Yeah.
Oh. That hair and those sunglasses on the back of his head. I'll do whatever he does.
Did you ever see the picture of him next to the guy from Smash Mouth, next to the guy from ICP?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Allegedly, three different people.
I don't believe it. I don't buy it.
There is video evidence, though, of Guy Fieri and the guy from Smash Mouth in an episode of Diners, Drives, whatever the fuck the show's called.
They do some pretty crazy visual effects. I think as soon as I have to see it with my own two eyes. They have to be in the exact same room right in front of me and have to shake both their hands at the same time.
You know, it's like the Social Network where they have Armie Hammer have be like both Winklevoss twins.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, what was that one? The new Willy Wonka movie where you had that like one small guy and he was like multiplied into like 50 different Loompa Loompas.
Yeah, the Loompa Loompas.
How fucking crazy is that shit?
Yeah, or like Back to the Future where they did, where Marty had to be his dad and Marty.
Yeah.
Who am I trying to think of? What the hell is his name?
George?
No, the dude. Marty, who's the actor? He's got Parkinson's. Come on.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox. Brain fart. Serious brain fart. Yeah, everybody knows that. But yeah, dude, that was like the first time they did that when they had the two dudes where he was like young him and then he's watching his dad like get fired or something with like the double ties.
Yeah. Dude, that whole movie was fucked up.
I fucking love that movie. Dude, they're great. All of them.
Imagine doing something like that today where the mom wants to fuck her son.
Oh my God.
How right? fucking nuts is that? Yeah.
Right? It might go over. Game of Thrones, I don't know. People, it might
but
go over.
But that's the time
better.
Period. We're talking about the fucking 80s.
Dude, no shit. What it's do you like, even do to that? Wake up in the 50s, your mom's on your bed. She's like, hi, I got your underwear for you.
Hi, Calvin.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
So dreamy. Yeah, no.
it went from your new album, 41, to... Oh,
to Back to the Future, possible.
To pedophilia, yeah.
It's okay, time travel.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, see, if you're over age in 1980 and you go back to 1950... You're not negative 30, right?
No, technically you just don't even exist yet. Yeah. You're not even a real person. So yeah. Who gives a shit?
Exactly, just like the photograph that started...
Yeah, dude.
Jesus Christ. So back to Warped Tour. I know I'm such a terrible segue, but I don't give a fuck. We don't give a fuck here.
Who gives a shit?
Exactly. So any bands on here that you haven't heard of before and then you just saw them and you're like, holy shit, these guys are amazing.
Dude, yeah, there was a couple. Barbed Wire Dolls are sick. They're from
Greece. We just interviewed them not too long ago.
Dude, they're dope.
Nuts.
Who else was really good? There was this Love Like Courage, I think.
Courage My Love.
Another BTB alum, man. They were really, really good. They were really good. And I was just walking by and just stopped. It was like, holy shit, these guys are amazing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands like that that I haven't heard of. They're, you know, like our level. You just walk by... Just draw you in, man.
Yeah.
But that's Warped Tour for you. That's why it's so awesome. Is you get to walk around, you get to see bands that you have never even heard of before, and then here's their showcase.
Could be your next. Check them out.
Yeah.
Could be the next best band. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, you go to the Full Sail stage, and then you have a band like Knocked Loose.
Yeah.
On that stage, and you're like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck are these people doing?
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. They had it packed in the other day. Like you couldn't even get around the stage. Those dudes kill it. They kill it every time.
Yet they're still on the small stage.
Yeah. Dude, Full Sail stage is fucking awesome, man. That whole, everybody that plays on that stage is legit. Bad Omens, they're fucking awesome, dude. And they kill it every fucking time, dude. Full Sail, don't sleep on the Full Sail stage, seriously.
Absolutely not. And plus, you know, I just saw the Full Sail stage before. It's probably what, the stage is like right there and then like the soundboard's like right there?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, all right. Crowd kill in this... Designated area, please.
Just right here.
Yes.
10 cubic feet.
But, Dan, anything else?
What I was going to say about the Full Sail stage, the good thing about that is, like, when you're on the way to the amphitheater, it's right there.
Yeah.
So you, like, have to walk past it.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely do.
I don't know if you saw, John. I don't know if you saw either. I was just, when I was walking here, there was, like, not like a tent, but someone brought their, like, camper and was a drummer and a guitar player just, like, jamming out, like, promoting their shit. I've never seen that before. I literally just walk by and are like, oh, I'm going to bring my camper, my band here. Check us out. We're going to play. We're not on Warped Tour, but we're going to come here.
It is motivation, man. That's how you do it. You just get out there and just put your shit out there. See what happens. See what sticks.
So, like, the backstory for your band, like, what did you do to, like, did you win any of the, like, the Warped Tour battles? Did you?
They're signed to Outer Loop.
No. Yeah, no. But no, I'm talking about, but like beforehand, like what did you do to like get a name for yourself? And
dude, we seriously just grinded. We did everything we possibly could. We got a couple big breaks with AP covering our stuff, and then Kevin Lyman retweeted it, and we were like, okay, well,
boom.
He's heard of us, so let's hop on this. And we did what we could, and we got 5 days out of it. Mm. And it's been the time of my life, man. This has been incredible.
Sounds sick. So you guys basically just said, you know, fuck it, we're going on tour until we get signed, shit like that?
Dude, we were just going to do what we could do. These were our first 5 shows. We haven't played any other shows other than Warped Tour. Just by playing our cards right and working.
Yeah.
Working. Don't stop. Don't ever stop.
Jimmy V?
Huh?
Was that Jimmy V?
No, if it was, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rip you off.
That's all right, he's been dead.
Well, there we go.
Yes. Yes. I actually have one question specifically for you. Do you kind of, like, looking at a random publication and you see Leek Short and then X Amure,
yeah.
Like, are you kind of, like, annoyed by it, or do you think it brings more people in?
No, not at all. I'm not really annoyed about it. I mean, I bring it with I kind of enjoy it. I mean, dude, Amir was a big part of me and my brother's life, and
you started Amir.
Yeah, and I mean, but you know, yes, me and Joe did start it, but I mean, it was 5 collective guys, just like Lake Short, you know, going at it. I mean, but as far as the whole Amir thing, it's like, you know, it has afforded us certain things, but that doesn't mean that we haven't worked our fucking asses off to get what we want.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm just saying, like, all these publications are like, oh, yeah, they used to be in a mirror. Yeah.
Hey, man, you know what? If that's going to put Lakeshore in the publications, then bring it on. You know, I got no bad blood towards Amir. We actually fucking hang out every day. I see Frank. Josh is an old friend of mine. I mean, even Phil. So it's been nothing but love. Obviously, there's been some, you know, back and forth, whatever, but, you know.
I'm sure most of it's like media shit. You know,
yeah, but we're grown up now, and, you know, it's just we're both here doing our own thing, and, you know, he's doing Amir still, and, you know, I'm on the come up again, so I'm ready to get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I want to say about Amir.
Yeah.
This is about fucking Lake Shore here.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm good with everything, Dan. You all square? All right. So, the EP comes out August 4th, called 41.
Yeah,
get that shit out on Outer Loop.
On Outer Loop Records, and if you want to find us, you check out the Facebook. I'm sure there'll be links that you put up or something like that. But, you know, lakeshoreofficial.com, just hit that up, and you can find everything that we're ever going to be doing, and we'll be doing a lot, so stay tuned.
And then we'll see you this fall with Alisana, I Set to Kill.
Yep.
And then that ginormous show in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah.